Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. This is a little clip from an episode that we'll be dropping on YouTube this afternoon at 3 p.m. Myself and Matty the Waterboy going through the South Sydney Rabbitohs and their best 17 for 2023. In this clip, we talk about Lachie Ilias, obviously filling in the big boots of Adam Reynolds. We talk about Keon Kolomantangi, the season that he came of age, and of course, the superstar. Matty describes him as the biggest superstar in rugby league, Latrell Mitchell, and the impact that he's going to have on the South Sydney Rabbitohs side in 2023.
I think plenty of positives to come out of this year. Obviously, Ilias, the season he had as a debutant halfback was sensational. The thing that I loved about Ilias was that he literally improved a little bit every single week.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
He just kept gaining, and he didn't have any. He had a few very good games, but he never had that game where you're like, oh, fuck, this is why he's a young superstar. Because I don't think Ilias is ever going to be a superstar. I just think he's going to be a traditional halfback.
Yeah.
And when you've got the sort of team that you've got, I think that's exactly what you need, realistically. So I was very impressed with him. I was also very impressed with Ilias, as much as he improved every week. Whenever he had his bad games, he always bounced back from them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see young halfbacks, they have poor games, and sometimes that can put them in a rut for months, weeks, seasons. It wasn't the same with Ilias. It was like at the start of each game, he just went, yep, fuck it. Back to the drawing board. Here I go again.
I'll admit, when he got hooked against St. George, I thought, fuck, he's going to spend a few, like his confidence is going to be shot. He's going to spend a few weeks out. Maybe it was a good thing we had the bye the next week, but geez, he bounced back from that better than I ever would have imagined, and full credit to him.
And I think people need to also keep in mind that Ilias, when he got hooked for that Dragons game, Matty, you'd know better than me, it was only about a week or two earlier that they brought Cody Nikorima into the club from memory.
Yep, that's right.
So there was also the pressure of, okay, now we've got another guy that can also play halfback. For the first few weeks, it was Ilias or no one, essentially. They had Blake Taft there as well. But bringing an experienced guy like Cody Nikorima, and when they signed Nikorima, I'd been told by multiple people that Nikorima was brought in because the coach wasn't convinced if Ilias was going to be the guy. And I think Ilias, the way that he responded to, one, the hooking, two, the arrival of Nikorima, it was like watching a guy in his fifth and sixth year of first grade, not his 15th and 16th game.
Yeah, like you sometimes forget this was his rookie year in such a vital position. And as you said before, he got better and better each week. His defense was fucking fantastic at the end of the year. I think everyone is pretty stoked with how Ilias went this year, because he had a mountain of pressure on his shoulders having to replace Adam Reynolds. So good on him.
Yeah, and he replaced him incredibly well. I have to call it as it is, though. We do know that with young halfbacks, the second year of first grade, Matty, it can be the biggest challenge of all at times.
Yeah, second year syndrome.
We have to talk about it, as we said. It has claimed so many great halfbacks over the years. The one that comes to mind for me is obviously Timmy Smith from the Parramatta Eels. Had that first year where he was fucking unbelievable and just never quite kicked on after that. As I said, the thing that fills me with confidence with Ilias is that he isn't a highlights guy.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing then. Like, people say, oh, second year syndrome for a player that has all these try assists. If their numbers are down the next year, then like, ah, you know, second year syndrome. But you don't look at Elias's numbers. You're just looking at what he does every set, every play, every week, etc. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think we'll see that from Elias.
And I also think that for the average fan that probably doesn't look at it as closely as we do, it is good that he had a good season without having unbelievable numbers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't think his numbers will ever get heaps better than what they were this year. I also don't think they'll get heaps worse, though. I think he'll just be a middle-of-the-line sort of halfback, which is what you need, especially in a side like yours where you've got a gun hooker, a gun fullback, a gun 5'8". Gun outside backs. I think he's the perfect sort of guy. So hopefully he can keep it up, keep doing what he's doing. Mate, I thought one of the other big positives for you out of season 2022 was I've looked at your South Sydney side the last few years and I've sort of gone, the starting front rowers are good, but the guys underneath that, they worry me a little bit. I think Tom Burgess, he had the best season of his career. And whenever Tom Burgess got injured, I sort of thought, oh, fuck, South Sydney are going to struggle. Totola, Harm Saleh, these two were unbelievable last year, and I think that the confidence they're going to take out of this season and then also bringing on young Davey Mowali into that group as well, I really like the look of the South Sydney pack at the moment.
Yeah, I was pretty devo when Mark Nichols signed with Dolphins because he's had a really good couple of years for South, but you're right, that forward pack front row rotation now is looking so good. It's crazy how Tommy Burgess and George Burgess are twins, but their careers are kind of different. Like George, who just retired, was one of the best players in the NRL in 2014. He scored a bunch of tries. He did that grand final try, and Tom was kind of like the sideshow compared to George back then. Mm-hmm. George has retired now, and now Tom's probably our best front row. I mean, Timothy Totola. Yeah, when he got suspended, well, when he was out, because he got suspended and something, he had two stints out at the back end of the year. That's right, he got suspended and then he got injured whilst he was suspended, and then he might have missed a finals game or something, I don't know.
Is this Tom?
Yeah, Tom.
He had a groin injury for fucking ages.
Yeah.
He was missing, and that no one really spoke about it, he was out or whatnot.
Yeah, it was annoying. It was annoying that no one would communicate that, but I got very, very, very worried when he wasn't playing, but the other boys stepped up. And Totola, he had a good start to his career, kind of, well, didn't lull, but like this year he has been so good, and he won the Rabbitohs Player of the Year at the awards, and that wasn't a random thing. I actually remember walking to there and he was my pick to win it, and he did. So he was just so good this year, and he's only getting better.
And I think credit to those guys, because I'm looking at your squad now. I've got a team in front of me that I think is how they'll line up for 23. I'm not even considering Jairo as a middle at all.
Nah,
credit to those guys, because I'll tell you what, when you first signed Jairo, I thought I didn't think you had the team to be able to play him on an edge.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be in the middle as well. Yeah, 100%.
So credit to those middles. They've done tremendously well. One more I want to mention, mate, that came from the Canberra Raiders last year, Havili. I think he proved to be a very valuable signing. You've obviously got Mamazelis coming through, who will be the next nine after Damien Cook. But to have a guy like Havili who can sub in and play nine, and I thought some of his games through the middle this year, there was games where he genuinely came on the field and he turned the tide through the middle with just his momentum gathering runs. I thought he was great for you as well.
He was so good, and it cannot be understated how big a loss he was in the prelim, because he didn't play that prelim, and yeah, it was such a big loss, because as you said, he did such good work for us this year. It was a very nice surprise. Always knew he was a good player, but very, very nice surprise at how well he did this year, and he's a certainty to be in my 17 this year, next year.
Now, I know I keep saying one more guy I want to mention. This will be the last guy before we get into the team, but I genuinely think this guy might be the most improved player in the competition over the last 2 years, Colin Mantungi. He has gone from a young guy coming into the NRL, maybe trying to get a spot, getting a few games here and there, to one of the first picked every week, and one of the first picked every week because you know what you're going to get every single fucking week. He's obviously got an incredible skill set, a great offload, a great running game, but mate, the moment that changed it for me this year with Colin Mantungi was that game against the Newcastle Knights where Clemmer went after him and he did not take a backward step at any fucking point. I've been so impressed with him. I thought that despite Tonga, in my opinion, being very disappointing this World Cup, I thought he was their best player by far and away. I'm pretty sure he made the World Cup team.
Yep, made the World Cup team of the tournament and thoroughly
deserved.
Rightly
so.
Yeah, I totally agree. He was their best player.
Yeah, I can't believe how much he's improved. I watched him play for Mascot when he was younger. I didn't expect him to be this good this early. I don't know what you thought when you first saw him, Matty, but I thought it would take him a lot longer
to
get to the stage he's at.
Even, because he's been good for a couple of years, but even this year, how much he's improved. Like you said, that Knights game was a turning point, but I mean, I wouldn't call it a slow start to the year, but if you compare the front of the year to the back end of the year, it is so different. He was so much better at the back end of the year and was one of the Rabbitohs' best players, and fuck, he's got some skill, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got some skill, and the thing that stood out for me, and you'll be able to talk more about it, I thought at the start of the season, he got caught out in defence on a number of occasions. Yeah. There was the game against the Roosters, was it? Where you could just tell the Chooks came into that with a game plan to try and catch him out. They got him a few times. The back end of the season, it just simply wasn't happening to him.
100%. He was, yeah. Like as we said, he was good like last year as well, like in 2021 and when he was coming up. But, oh, the back end of this year. And look, I hadn't really sat back and thought what the turning point was. But, yeah, maybe it was that Knights game because that was in the middle of the year. South had half their team out, I think more than half their team out, and a few people had to step up, and he was one of them, and, yeah, went head-to-head with Clemmer, which I certainly would never do, so, yeah.
Clemmer in that moment too?
Oh, God, scary.
Looked like a serial killer out scary, on the field. That scary, was terrifying. Scary. All right, should we get into your best 17 for next year, mate?
Let's do it.
All right, now a lot of this side sort of picks itself, to be perfectly honest with you. Latrell Mitchell, he will be at fullback. Latrell coming off a great World Cup, coming off a great season. Matty, you'll be able to talk to it about it in more detail than me, but I think people forget just how disrupted his season was in 2022.
Not just his season. I think the whole Rabbitohs season was disrupted, and I think that's a reason we kind of snuck into the eight, didn't lock down a final spot till we beat the Cowboys in the second last game of the year, which is pretty crazy considering Rabbitohs made the prelim and, you know, was so good in that final series. But yeah, the Latrell getting injured was obviously heaps disruptive because he missed 3 months of footy, kind of like had to shift our team around a little bit. We had other players get injured, come in and out. And South, at the, what game was it? It was the Dragons game in round 15 when they lost, had only won two games in a row. That was around 15, like a couple of times. They never put three wins together for the year yet. It was a really up and down year. And at that point, I was thinking, oh God, this is going to be not a tough year, but like not as good as the years we'd seen in the last four making prelims.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coincidentally, Latrell comes back against the Eagles. Can't lose. We beat the Eels, beat the Knights, beat the Dogs, beat Melbourne, which was just so good. Lost to Cronulla by 1 point, which Troll missed a couple of field goals, which he never, ever will do. Like, he probably won't do again. Definitely could have won that game, but that's footy. Beat the Warriors, beat the Eels. Lost to the Panthers 22-26, which was a close-as game. Beat the Cowboys. Then they had the Roosters game at Allianz, which we lost. And then beat the Roosters on Sinbin Sunday, absolutely smash the Sharks, and then the prelim. So it was a tale of 2 years for not just Colin Matani, not just Latrell, but the whole Rabbitohs team.
Just having a look through Latrell's season this year, mate. Obviously got injured in round 5, didn't return until round 16. But you look at the games that he lost this year, I think he lost a grand total of 5 games. The first one was against Melbourne, they lost by 1 point. Lost to Penrith in round 4, lost by 14. That was his biggest loss the entire season against the eventual Premiers, who were going back-to-back.
And not only that Melbourne game, which he lost, the reason we got close is because of that crazy field goal
he
kicked.
He made it relevant. Yeah. Next game they lost was in round. Next game Latrell lost was in round 20. Lost by 1 point to the Sharks, as you said.
Yep.
Could have won that game on many occasions. Lost to Penrith by 4 points. Then lost to the Roosters on Simbin Sunday, but returned the week after and beat them at the same ground when it actually mattered.
Yep.
And then, of course, lost the prelim final by 20-odd points. But you have a look at the teams that he lost to throughout the entire year. It was only Melbourne, Penrith, Cronulla, and the Roosters.
All finals teams.
All finals teams. All top four teams except for the Roosters, and he beat them the week after
yep.
when it mattered anyway. So
and scored when it was 11 or 13. I will be bringing that up for the rest of my life.
100%. So, yeah, look, Latrell, he will be at fullback. He will have a full preseason under his belt. He'll be ready to go, and I think he's got a real point to prove this year, Latrell. I'm really, really excited to see how he goes. Obviously, we'll talk about it more with those guys, but... Mate, I have no doubt whatsoever that he would know in his mind that Damien Cook and Cody Walker aren't going to play forever.
Yeah, I think as well. I think because when he came in 2020, he did his hammy in like one of the later rounds.
Yeah,
against
Parramatta. Yeah.
Was suspended in 21. And then it was kind of like Latrell hasn't played a finals game for South. He's got that monkey off the back. He was so good in some of those finals games. Now I think he's ready for a big year, Latrell.
Yeah, I think Latrell Mitchell is now in a position where he knows the only thing standing in front of him, you know, being in a grand final or winning a comp and playing Origin is injury and suspension.
Yeah.
It's just up to him now.
Yeah, 100%. He's good enough. And I just, you get, people hate him and whatever, but just him walking around the cameras, calling it Trolley Aunt Stadium,
it's good game, for rugby league.
The game needs him. Yep. And I've read an article in the paper this morning. Fox Sports have just signed him. So he's going to be on TV a lot this year. So if you don't like Latrell, I have bad news for you. You're going to see him a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough gig.
Yeah.
I like that deal.
Oh, I love
it. It'll be good for Latrell.
I think it's good for Latrell. I think it's good for Fox Sports because he's the game's biggest superstar right now. Like he's just, it's crazy. It's just, I love it. I love Latrell so much. And I'm stoked for him, and I hope he doesn't change.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will.
I'd be shocked if he changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited about Latrell. He will be.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.